Hi, everybody. This is Rita Prazeres Gonçalves, linguist and senior talent management consultant. In this podcast, I have conversations with language professionals who are willing to talk about their experience, their knowledge, and their strategies to navigate the ever-changing language industry. This is also a space where I can learn and share my insights. I have been working with LSPs, enterprise clients, and freelancers for over 20 years, and my main focus is talent management for the localization industry. Let's get to know some of the most interesting people in our field: translators, company owners, association representatives, and community builders. This is The Language Worker. This podcast is also available as a video cast on YouTube. Hi, everybody. So here I am again and again with Robert Martin. So you were my guest last year on this time, and I guess there's a lot to catch up on. So I just decided to invite Robert to come back again. Also, our relationship has changed, so I thought it was really a good idea to just fill you all in what's been going on. So thank you so much, Robert, for being here. And just a small introduction in case people haven't seen you last time. So, your path in the industry, I know it's huge, but just trying to get a
Okay,
little bit of the
so
highlights.
for anybody who doesn't know me already, my name is Robert Martin. I'm from Ireland. I was 45 last week, and I have been in this industry, in this translation, localization, global content space, I think since the age of 21, 22. So about 23, 24 years now. Most of my background has been in revenue creation, sales and marketing, building relationships. And some of you may know already that a few years ago, I created a company called Magic Beans Agency, which had at its foundation the desire to help language service providers and brands to grow, whatever that definition of growth means to them. So, yeah, that's kind of been my main focus recently. Prior to that, I was working in larger LSPs selling, and it's been fun. So over the last few years, we've kind of expanded what we're doing, going from a company that was very focused on sales and marketing aspects to growth to now offering, a wider range of solutions. With a very talented group of consultants and experts. And yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me back.
Of course. So a lot has happened this year, obviously, and you've been to all sorts of, events and things like that. But I guess the major thing that happened, at least that's what I'm involved with, is that you actually decided to do that, to expand your company and to have more people involved, more consultants and, other people. I guess when you were here, Laura was already working with you, right? But ever since you've decided, and I know that you have a vision to, to make the company more and more useful to the clients. So what's the vision really? Why did you decide to just start expanding the company and offering other people
I mean,
services?
I guess obviously, I feel like we're at this point within our space now where there is a real hunger, for information and hunger for support. The pace or the rate of change is increasing a lot for everybody, for all of the players in our ecosystem. Ecosystem is a word I've been using a lot recently. But everybody from the large enterprise clients to the LSPs of different sizes to the freelance translators and then other groups like academia and technology providers, things are changing, things are evolving. I guess we can say that in general, right? In the world in general, everything seems to be going at a much faster pace. But certainly, I feel that, in the last couple of years with all of these new technologies that we've all been talking about, and also with the increasing complexity of how to sell and how to market in today's kind of environment, I wanted to be able to offer a more holistic, broader range of expertise to the different people that we're targeting, right? So whether we're an enterprise buyer, whether we're working with LSPs, or whether we're supporting smaller LSPs or even freelance linguists who want to learn the skills, I wanted to bring together a group of experts who have a lot of industry expertise in their relevant in their respective fields, and who can basically slot in and slot out as needed and work with our clients on specific initiatives that are linked to their goals, their business outcomes. So we started working with you, which is fantastic. And, you know, you've taken on our role as lead consultant for talent, which I think is super important, right? And we have a lady for technology and AI, who is Laura, who we've mentioned already. And we have two other consultants in the business, and one of them hasn't formally been announced, but we're going to announce her soon. And then we have another guy who works with me on the sales and marketing side of things as well. So really the goal was to be able to provide people a wider range of solutions, and also kind of blended solutions as well, because very often what we're seeing is that companies need, you know, somebody who has experience in production, but may also have a background in talent management or in quality management, or they understand the technologies that are available. So, you know, in this kind of growth field or support field, solutions, you know, it's not always just one player or one person providing input. So now as a bigger team, we're able to help people in a more kind of holistic way. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, totally makes sense. But I think that it's maybe even a little bit more than that. I'm saying that because it's like, I don't think you had started doing some sort of events last time we talked, right? So I know that after that conversation, you had, I guess, the first big event was the MT implementation course, right? That you did for LSP owners and whomever was interested. And I got to attend. I was fascinated. I guess that's what made our relationship also evolve, right? But ever since, there's been other initiatives, right? So this year has been a bit more, you know, public for you guys and for us, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I used to do a lot of events back in the day when I was in other companies selling technology or selling localization services. And so when I, you know, originally started the company, I was kind of happy to take a break and work, you know, really with the head down consistently with the clients that I was working with. But I definitely had a conscious goal to try to increase our exposure this year and be more visible within the industry. And in one way, it's also a case of, you know, eating my own garbage. If I'm telling my clients that they need to be more visible and they need to be doing things on social and in events and in terms of creating valuable content, then it's something that we needed to do as well. So yes, you're right. We developed a course for MT implementation, which we did with Laura. And then, you know, kind of we've been working on providing other webinars. We launched a webinar series called Meet the Giants, where we match up experts in the industry who are, you know, have a deep, deep knowledge in their respective fields, and we get them to share information with clients. And of course, we have collaborations with a couple of industry associations as well. So we have done quite a lot this year with ELIA, the European Industry Language Association, and also with the UK Association of Translation Companies. We've partnered with both of those to provide events. And also we're launching a new training course for the ATC, which is with regard to AI upskilling. But yeah, you're right. It's been a busy year. I'm currently speaking to you from rural Ireland. And last week I was in, I guess, a little bit rural Malta in the middle of the Mediterranean. So I was, you know, really honored, I guess, and pleased to be invited as one of their main speakers for their annual conference. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I know. So I know that you spent your birthday basically talking here, talking there, traveling, presenting, you know, like basically under pressure doing things. So was it worth it? I suppose it was. Yeah, let's talk about this Elia thing because I know, or is it called Elia or Elia? Somehow it comes to me as Elia for some
I
reason.
think it depends on where you come from, like
Yeah,
many
yeah.
words.
We do have the name
So I
Elia
had a
in
great
Portuguese.
time.
You did. So I know that
Okay.
you had to do a lot of prepping because it was not just a presentation, right? So for Elia, it was like a big thing, more than one day, more than
Yeah.
1 hour. So all of that. So let's go through that
Yeah.
a little bit just to figure out what the story was.
So ostensibly the topic for the day was about client acquisition. And of course, LSPs are always interested in sales and marketing. And I personally feel it's an area which we don't talk about enough in the industry. We talk all the time about quality, we talk all the time about technology, we talk all the time about pricing, but we don't really talk about our sales and marketing strategies or skills or methodologies. And that's something that obviously I've done a lot of. So I was really pleased to be invited to speak, first of all, and get to talk about this. But of course, and it was a full day, so I had to prepare a full day of content. But of course, I really felt the responsibility of providing valuable content to the audience that was there. So this was the Elia Execs event, which is usually aimed at the owners or leaders in the company. And of course, many of them come from, they're entrepreneurs, absolutely, but many of them come from a linguistic background or, another background. They may not necessarily have had long experience in, a sales career. And so, yeah, it was quite a lot of work. I prepared, three sessions, and then we had a kind of a mixed discussion. I think some people found it a little bit dense. Again, I tried to fit a lot into the content and probably maybe overestimated the appetite to get into things in such detail. But of course, as a presenter, again, you really want to add value. Let people go away with, things that they can use in their business. And actually, it was received well. And we're going to do a follow-up webinar in a couple of weeks for the Elia members to who will basically receive all of the many slides that I've prepared. And we're going to do a follow-up event whereby they can ask their questions, having had the time to review all of the content at their own pace, in their own time, taking things in. Because of course, sales and marketing is complicated these days, even for ourselves, like trying to provide clear messaging out to the industry about what we do consistently when we have different experts on the team who have different skills and staying visible and engaging with people via social media or email or live meetings. It's complex. It's not easy. And people, of course, have a lot, people are busy. They have a lot of calls on their attention. And of course, in order for us to deserve their attention, we have to continue to provide value, And I guess so again, Malta was about, for me, it was about trying to provide valuable information. I think it was pretty well received. I got some nice feedback, some nice emails and comments. And we'll get the official feedback soon, I think.
So what do you think was their main concern? Were there many? I know you had lots of content to present, but I'm sure there was still a bit of discussion and questions and all of that. So, and you already said that you're going to have the follow-up session where they can ask, probably more detailed or thought about questions. But what was the main thing that everybody seemed to be concerned about in terms of sales and marketing from
So
your perspective?
again, it's a little bit like when you go to a therapist and you tell the therapist, okay, I want to talk about one thing, but you actually end up wanting to talk about a lot of other things, And so ostensibly the topic was client acquisition, but of course, Elia is a community of company owners and smaller and medium-sized LSPs. And so it was very much a forum also to talk about change. The changes that we're seeing in the industry and how we can kind of get on board with this change and harness the new capabilities that are out there to create value and kind of to transform, really. So we have to manage change and we have to be the change. And so, it's not easy. There's a lot of information coming at us from all angles. And it's important that as LSP owners, for example, that we're able to understand the basic concepts of what's going on, that we're able to understand, okay, how do these technologies fit into what we normally do? And then how can I, as a company that specializes in my language or my domain or my geography, fit into this to create value for either the clients that I have now or the clients that I want to have going forward, you know? So again, it was, you know, we started off talking about client acquisition, but a lot of it was about embracing this change, being curious, being inventive, coming up with new value propositions, coming up with new visions for your company, you know? Again, a lot of the language service providers that we work with by default have been able to service many, many industries. And now they kind of, you know, one of our talking points was, do we need to redefine ourselves now as AI technology specialists or providers or global content providers or specialists in a specific niche? So these are all kind of fundamental questions that, you know, everybody in the industry is being faced with. And we had a few different kind of solutions and approaches for that.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel like, I guess we were together at a meeting some time ago and someone pointed out that it's complicated to be like in this space of being an owner, a company owner, and creating community, because obviously kind of they see each other as competitors. But as we see the trend from the more, you know, let's say the freelance community, where it's been proven that what has been happening the last couple of years, at least since the pandemic, is that they have decided to just open the doors of their mind to their fellow freelancers or translators, and that they have somehow created this sense of community. They communicate a lot more, they're a lot more open, and I guess they stopped seeing each other as competitors. Right. So this was kind of a need for whatever is happening out there, that it's so much. And it's almost like you need each other to keep going from a psychological point of view, from a mental health point of view, from the point of view of understanding where you can go from here with the business that you already have built. Right. Because freelancers also have their own business, obviously. So do you feel like this trend, now that there's so many events for LSP owners and, you know, enterprise owners who are somehow related to the language industry, I guess everybody is related to the language industry, but you know, the people in charge. So do you feel like this is a trend that it's going to catch up also with all these events and this effort from associations like ELIA and others, that people are going to feel like there's safe spaces for them to share their concerns?
I hope so. I think in general, yes. Because of the different things that we've faced over the last few years globally, things like the pandemic, things like financial crisis, things like war, and these macro trends that are happening all over the place. I mean, it feels like we're in unstable times, right? We have to fall back to our humanity and how we relate to people, you know, as other people, as humans. And I think, yes, I think we've realized that it's okay to show a little vulnerability. It's okay to reach out and talk to your neighbors. It's okay to be part of a community that supports each other. You know, I think that's, as people, as business owners, as an industry, I think that's a definite trend, and I hope it continues. The flip side of that, of course, is that our industry has been heavily influenced by the super LSPs and the large tech companies who, you know, throw out millions of words every year, and the large LSPs are racing to the top to see who can get the most revenue. And that has also had a huge effect on how the smaller companies have had to work, on pricing models, on relationships with freelance language experts. You know, so there's been a kind of a lot of negative noise and energy associated with that. And also, you could say innovation, you know, because these people have kind of driven things forward for a long time. But as we say, there are many different realities in our world. You know, your reality sitting there in Portugal at the moment right now is not the same as my reality sitting here in Tipperary in Ireland. So, you know, we have to remember that there are many different realities out there, that there is always help out there as well. And that it's okay to ask questions and to be curious and to kind of say, what if I do this? What if I try to reduce my dependency on the super LSPs and instead I create a value proposition which is very focused on companies in my immediate geography or in my preferred vertical? Or what if I upskilled my people so that they understood these new AI technologies better, you know, and understood why people with a linguistic background are in a great position to be the quality owners, be the gatekeepers of how to unlock the potential of these technologies. And again, we do need to bring it back to, you know, how can we serve our clients better, you know? So there's different ways in which we can do that. Clients want to sell. They want to connect with consumers or buyers of their services or of their products. And so as language experts, in theory, we are connectors, right? We connect hearts and minds. We are able to use language to appeal to how people feel about things, right? So in theory, we're well placed to be part of the story. But we do need to keep up with the trends, keep up with the changes that are happening, which of course is a challenge.
But do you think, like, talking to all the company owners that you talk to all the time, do you feel like they, like, talent is a part of their concerns? Do they have a vision like, oh yeah, well, probably we don't need them anymore in a couple of years? Do you feel like they have this more human side of the industry into consideration when they think about their own strategy? Or is it something that comes up like an afterthought when they are faced with a specific problem?
I think they're still feeling their way. I think there's a lot of different attitudes toward talent in the industry. We know that there's some unsavory practices. A lot of LSPs, I think, don't want to be that company, right? They want to treat people well. They want to be responsible, etc. But they're still under pressure. I think one of the things that you and I have talked about and one of the things we're trying to do is encourage owners to create this community within their freelance pool and communicate with them better so that we can unlock synergies, we can unlock invention, we can unlock value for everybody, really. So that's something that we talked about. And also because, you know, a given pool of freelance experts is going to have a wide range of skills and experiences that we can use to create revenue, to create better relationships, to evolve, you know. So I think that companies are feeling their way through it. I think some are more, let's say, pro talent than others. But I think in general, I mean, people are fundamentally good, right? So, or basically we hope they're fundamentally good. So I think, yeah, the, you know, the desire to treat people well is there. I think what gets complicated is doing everything at the same time, you know, keeping up with change, learning technology, creating a value proposition, selling to my clients, keeping the clients happy, keeping the suppliers happy. It's a lot, you know, and when you're a company owner, you're dealing with, you know, your finances, your tax, your, you know, keeping your employees engaged and, you know, getting them for the right price and making a bit of money, hopefully. So it's a lot. People feel under pressure. And what I would say to those people is, you know, reach out. We're here to help. We're here to chat. We don't, you know, we're happy to talk without any kind of commitments or obligations. We want to be seen as, you know, a group of experts that you can come to for advice, that you can come to for help. Like, we're launching new initiatives, which, like group coaching, for example, where LSPs can, you know, get into a group setting and learn, you know, with their contemporaries, with kind of, you know, easy entry price points. So that's one of the things that we're trying to do to help. And of course, we're learning as well, right? We're learning about AI and developing training solutions for the industry. So it's exciting. There's a lot happening. And, you know, I think somebody I think it was one of our clients at the Gala conference who said, you know, technology is the surfboard and we're the surfer. You know, we both have to work together and to ride that wave.
Mm-hmm. So I guess these days it's almost mandatory that someone has to be the bridge between, you know, what was called the LSP owners and, you know, the rest of the community. So I guess we in the Magic Beans Agency could somehow also be involved in making things better for both parts and to kind of help them understand each other, because all of us have different backgrounds. We have been working in companies that are big and small and well-known and unknown and all of that, right? So we have also a responsibility when it comes to that. So when you invited me to come and join the Magic Beans, I was a bit surprised, of course, but then I thought, well, maybe this is what I can do, right? To be someone who is halfway here, halfway there and nowhere at the same time, because I do believe that, because I've worked in all the possible sides of the industry, client, LSP, big LSP, small LSP, freelancing, all of that stuff. So I'm always trying to bring, you know, the people factor into the equation. So, I mean, besides the new workshop for owners, what else is it going to happen this year that we already can predict in Magic Beans?
Ah, and Magic Beans. Well, first of all, I think we're starting to sound like a band from the 1950s or the 60s, right? The Magic Beans. Certainly, we want to be involved in this training, this upskilling need, you know, and whether we are supporting big enterprises who need help with technology or creating, you know, specialized talent pools or quality systems, or whether we're helping language service providers to transform, or we're helping freelance linguists to become the maestros in these new tools and technologies. I want to be involved in all of that, to be honest, you know? So we're going to be doing training programs. We're going to be doing coaching events. We're going to be at some more industry events as well to, you know, hear back from our audience, right? Which is super, super important. I mean, I feel like I learned a lot at the ELIA event last week. And also I was at an event with the ATC where, you know, you could just see people are hungry for information. They're hungry for solutions. So for me, that's the big thing. I would like to, you know, promote my valued consultants in the business so that each of them has their own audience as well and is kind of promoting the causes that you guys are passionate about. And yeah, we've been trying to get our podcast off the ground as well, but we have a bit more work to do on that.
So, it's already started, right? So it's one of these days.
It's in development. So there's a lot going on, and that's the world in which we live these days. You know, there's always mm-hmm. going to be a lot going on, and it's up to us to manage it.
What about the Robert Martin himself? What do you expect for yourself within the next couple of years or so as a business owner, as someone who has been involved in the industry since your early years, someone who's taking on multiple roles? Where do you see yourself in the very near future of the industry as a person, as someone who has an opinion?
I see myself as entrepreneurial. I'm always interested in, you know, how people make money and create companies and create brands. So I see that continuing. I would like us to be offering more solutions, different solutions. I would love to grow the team so that we had more support internally and we were more scalable. Hopefully I'll still be around, you know, talking about sales and marketing and, you know, as I say, I'm 45, so I have a few years in me yet to achieve things. But yeah, I mean, you know, like many people, I came into this industry because I was into languages as a kid. You know, I liked reading and literature, and I loved learning French and German, you know. So I think that, again, the fundamentals of liking language and liking cultures and liking the art of communication, whatever we use it for, that's something that I hope will keep me going, you know. Mm-hmm. And of course, I love talking about sales and marketing and challenges. I'm looking forward to doing the group coachings. We're talking about maybe doing one as well for talent managers. So I'm interested to see how that turns out as well. Yeah, so I feel excited and optimistic about, you know, our industry in general, and about learning all of these new skills and new technologies that we need to master.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad you said that everything, you know, came into your life because you enjoyed languages and all that, because I think that with all the AI conversation, it's almost like a lot of people forgot what this is all about in the end, right? Of course, it can be the most amazing tool ever built by man, whatever, whatever, and all sorts of things that have been happening. But the truth is that all of us are rooting for the survival of the thing as it is, because we know what it is, right? We have been living it ever since we were children. I guess the vast majority of us, at least all of us at Magic Beans and the vast majority of the people I know who work in the industry, it's like this was like our childhood dream, right? And I also think that that's why a lot of people feel so passionate about being against all this, you know, these giants coming in and kind of saying that they will solve all the problems or language, but like a Babel kind of tower kind of situation. So I guess that's what the thing is. We have to keep in mind why we came to this in the first place, right?
I mean, I know our friends over at Slater had their conference yesterday in London, and they had the lady from Facebook who was talking about, you know, the fact that they cover, I don't know, 130 languages, but there were 7,000 spoken languages in the world, mm-hmm. and that they wanted to harness technologies to create more local experiences for local users. And I think that is something that, you know, technology is going to allow us to do a lot more quickly and a lot better. You know, and again, it's about creating these connections, you know, it's like connecting people or connecting hearts and minds. That's really what it's all about. So I think that, you know, we're in a really interesting place and hopefully a really healthy place. Yeah, we're going to see a lot of change, but our role as these connectors of, you know, of opinions, of consumers, of hearts and minds is not going to change. We're still going to be here.
Yeah, of course. What else can we do, right?
At least I don't want to do lots of things much we could else. Do.
No, I'm just kidding.
We could go
of course.
Sell mobile phones or something, or learn how to cut hair.
But, no, it's true. Yeah, of course we can reinvent ourselves all the time. But the truth is that this is like our original passion, right? So it's why that I guess no matter what happens, we'll be around.
Yeah, and I mean, I do feel that, you know, when we talk about these negative practices, you know, that freelancers sometimes are subjected to by larger LSPs, I do feel like there is a responsibility there as well. Like, I wonder why we don't have like a code of conduct maybe in the industry that LSPs can sign up to and say, look, you know, these are our values. You know, I know companies do this on an individual level, but it would be good to see more standards, I guess, and more kind of professional codes of conduct with regard to how people are treated and expectations. You know, so that would be something that would be interesting to explore as well. You know, again, so many different realities out there. You have the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? So it's all going on.
Yeah, that's true. Alrighty. Thank you so much, Robert. I guess we will do this every year. If
I feel like we've been through a lot in like 30 minutes. Yeah, I hope it wasn't too dense for people. It's been a pleasure to be on the podcast with you and to be working with you recently as well. You brought like great energy to our small team. And and I hope your listeners like the podcast. And of course, if people want to learn more about upskilling, training, learning, you know, how to sell, how to market, how to implement these technologies, you know, how to engage with their talent communities, then absolutely, please get in touch. We'll be happy to talk to you.
Okie dokie. Thank you so much. And I'll be talking to you very, very soon. Thank you so much, Robert.
Thank you, Rita. Have a great weekend.
You too.